Well, I just want to take a minute and thank everyone for being here today. Ojalá que todos están bien. Everybody's getting ready for tomorrow, the big celebration. This was a project funded by the Office of Minority Health. I have no relationships to disclose. I was actually born in San Francisco, so my dad is so excited about this, right? My parents were hippies in the 60s, so it's a big, big deal. Anyway, I'm going to go over the background on the project, program objectives, participants' design, our community partners, the intervention, measures, findings, and then provide a summary of results, and I'm going to try to do that very quickly. As you all know, Latinos are the fastest growing demographic in the United States, and the largest, and even when we're the largest, we're still called the majority minority, but oh well. In many demographic centers, such as Los Angeles and Long Beach, where the population is now 41%. Computer and internet access help young people succeed academically in many different ways, and we're often asking the wrong questions in academic success. So we're asking, do you have access to the internet, when it's really, do you have access to a computer in your home? The labor market success will depend on their ability to use, adapt, and transfer technology and knowledge-based skills. And the digital divide for Latinos and Blacks with low socioeconomic status will be a very, very big barrier. And also the importance of being able to create youth voice and also responsible youth voice. So teaching folks what they can and can't put on Facebook and all those other things is very important. So the program objectives overall, we wanted to increase GPA, California test scores, school disciplinary actions, we wanted to decrease and unexcused absences. We wanted to increase parental knowledge of college readiness and what their kids needed to do to get ready. And this was a population of very high-risk kids, so we purposely picked kids who were at real high risk. And I should say that Hamilton Middle School was our partner, and that's three blocks from Compton, so you get an idea of where the school was located. We wanted to increase knowledge and use of technology and also their desire to attend college. And we wanted to look at healthy diet and exercise patterns and self-esteem. And two of the components of the project involved them coming onto campus every month with their families. So sometimes it was with grandma, with parents, with grandpa, with whoever we could get to come in, sister, brother. So we had activities on campus. We also had them participate in a camp that our university has, which is we're the 49ers. That's not very culturally appropriate, but that's what it is. So they came in the morning and they did an academic camp, and in the afternoon they did a sports camp. So they were exposed to a lot of different things. So we had moms calling in saying, "I'm worried that my child's going to drown," right? Because some of them had never been in a swimming pool before, and the swimming pool, of course, was 3 feet, and we had to reassure parents and bring them on and let them see things. But a lot of folks just they'd never been exposed, so we wanted to make sure that they were getting exposed to things, and we wanted to decrease depression because, as you probably know, Latinas, especially young Latinas, have the highest rates of suicide ideation. So that was something we wanted to make sure we were decreasing in this population. And also we wanted to increase knowledge of the cultural richness and the resilience of the Latino community. So we did a lot of things that really helped heighten, so they begin to recognize the cultural capital that they're bringing forth, because I think so many times in academic and educational and health programming, we're not looking at Latino cultural-based assets and helping folks recognize that. So I remember working with one of the kids, and he recognized that his name was actually a Nahual name. And he said, "Wow, I'm Aztec." And I said, "You sure are." And it was like this beaming face, because it was a recognition of the cultural assets that he brings through his heritage. And also looking at comfort level in terms of relating to folks from different races and ethnicities. And we had one participant who was half African-American, half Salvadoran, right? And she looked phenotypically very different than the others. So we worked on that. And, you know, living in Compton or very close to Compton, there are issues there. So we tried to really look at racial and ethnic, not just tolerance, but appreciation and looking at historical gifts and things like that. So we targeted no less than 34 at-risk Latino students every year for 3 years. They had to be Latino, they had to have academic health or behavioral risk, and we looked at the context of risk as well. So low GPA, parents recently divorced, sister dropped out of high school, those were all things that we were looking at. They could be referred by an instructor, a principal, a parent center director, and this school had parents who worked kind of as promotores or leaders in their communities that would go out and outreach to the parents, often door to door. And also they could self-refer. And 91.7% of our students at Hamilton qualified for free and reduced meals. So you can see the demographic was very at need of a program like this. and the poverty levels in the zip code are twice the national average. So we had academic year-round services, and year-round services are so important for youth empowerment programs, right? Because so many times we're doing things during the year, and in the summer, folks just drop off, and a lot can happen within those 3 months of the summer. And we looked at pre-, post-, and six-month follow-up, and we also did a lot of interaction with the families. So we had pre- and post interviews with the families as well, so they could begin to see the difference. As I said before, we were funded by the Office of Minority Health. Our partners were the National Council of La Raza, CSULB Center for Latino Community Health Evaluation and Leadership Training, with which I direct, and Malawi's on the other side of the table as the assistant director. And we worked with Hamilton Middle School. We also worked with a digital media program, and that's what I'm going to talk about mainly in this presentation, which is a YMCA collaborative called Change Agents Productions. So they helped us out with equipment, computer labs, staff, curriculum, and they worked on public service announcements, which I'm going to show you one of. So the digital media component would happen twice a month at the Y, Fridays after school from 4 to 7 o'clock, which is a key time because it's kind of falling into the weekend, what's going to happen here. So we really wanted to target that period of time. And we also, things were happening on when we tried to do it on weekends, such as confirmation and different things like that. So this time tended to work really well for the families. And we transported them from school with a YMCA bus. And we also provided them with healthy dinners. And we made sure that we were choosing foods that were very, very healthy. Sometimes were ethnically specific, but sometimes weren't. So they learned about foods like hummus, for example, and different foods that they may not have tried before. And we provided skills needed for life. So there was applied knowledge of technology, working with groups, and getting folks oftentimes used to working within groups and used to cooperating with each other. And that was very, very important. We had them conduct research, so they had to get some background information on the health topics they were tackling in their PSAs. Public speaking and public presentations. Sometimes kids were less comfortable doing this, and by the end of our program, they were more comfortable. Critical and sequential thinking, what should go first, second, third, so learning about elevating and then resolving issues in their PSAs, and creativity. So the Change Agents Productions folks were very young, first generation educated, which was very important for our demographic. So they were in the same kind of boat that our students were in. They came from multiple ethnicities, and we have the largest Cambodian population outside of Cambodia in Long Beach. So a lot of folks had immigrant parents as well. They may not have been Latino, but there were similar experiences. We also had Latino mentors as well. We also had high school paid junior staff who had completed a YMCA Youth Institute program, and they served as mentors. And we also partnered with the UCI, University of California at Irvine. So a lot of our CSULB-based mentors were physicians in training through the Prime LC program, and they worked actively. So these kids could not have had better role models, and they were first-generation educated Latino or Latino want-to-serve folks. Yes, mentors, and we had a variety of different folks, and you can see a little picture there. And they assisted them a lot in their research. So the Si Se Puede program, we had a YMCA Mac lab, which was very different than their student than the computer lab that they had at the school, which was very outdated. We supplemented with school computer labs, and we tried to provide as much as we could there, but again, the Wise lab was state of the art. Digital video cameras, internet software, and they learned how to use different programs like iMovie, GarageBand, Adobe Photoshop, props and costumes, craft supplies, all of this was provided. And these are some other things that you could use: YMCA labs, school computer labs, mobile labs with laptops if anyone's interested in replicating within their own communities. So it was 2 to 3 hours per session. And we did it throughout the year. So it was provided, except for the summer where they had the summer camp, right? So the camp was provided in the summer. So all during the school year, the digital media was taking place. So they learned to work as a group. They learned to plot things out, as I said, sequentially. They learned how to tell a story. And we also had them storyboard, and you can see a sample of one of the students' storyboards. So they learned how to think in these sequential ways. I went the wrong way. Sorry about that. So they also learned about photographic framing, the rule of thirds, the use of angles and distance to portray emotion, which was very important. They learned about self-expression and objects within their films, and they also conducted internet research. So each group, when they worked within a group, had to present a different health topic so they couldn't tackle the same thing, so that the research, we wanted each one learning from the different types of research. Each member of the group had to have a role, so it wasn't okay for someone to sit back. We wanted everybody to actively participate. Each group had to complete the PSA, and then they did a second PSA. So these went throughout the semester, so they do actually two of them. And movie posters were created to accompany the PSA, so they kind of had to carry the whole project through. And these were 30 public service announcements were created by the bulk of the group, and we're in the process right now of analyzing the different topics and the content of each of them. Some of the topics were nutrition, bullying, substance abuse, healthy lifestyles, the issues with graffiti, which is something that they have within their environment all the time, marketing junk food, smoking, sleep, and we're seeing more and more how sleep is such an important issue. So I want to show you one of the, if I can do it, oops, click on the screen. Oops, how am I not? This mouse, wait.
Go back to them.
You can see I would benefit from this training as well.
Okay, just click on the screen.
Okay, this is one they did. So that's just a that's just one sample, and you can kind of see what they did. And some of them they live acted. So there was one on bullying that was absolutely amazing, and there were live actors. But this is just a little sample. Now let me see if I can switch the slides. Okay. So we wanted to look. Did they have more access to computers? By asking questions, I have access to a computer. I have access to the internet. We wanted to look at in the last month. How often did you use computers to send email, complete school assignments? And they had never to daily, and knowledge about the use of computers. So keyboard and mouse to successfully operate computers, computers and the internet to find and collect information, and there were 4-point response scores. So we saw that more males than females participated in the YES program. The ages ranged, which was an important, we kind of almost wanted to slate it that way because we know academically there's the performance issues among males in middle school, male Latinos are poorer than females, right? There's a little bit higher risk. So males represented 57.2% of the population. The age was 11.76. We had 105 in sixth grade, 36 in seventh grade, and 10 in eighth grade. We tended to move to the younger youth as the program progressed because we were finding that if we targeted them at a little bit younger ages, we were more successful in terms of outcomes later. Country of birth, a majority were born in the United States, which is also very important because their parents weren't. So their realities were very distinct, and their formative years were developing themselves in a very distinct environment than their parents. So one of the things we wanted to really emphasize in the program by inviting the parents is the importance of familismo and the strength of the Latino family and how that could be used as a buffer for all of these things. And we found that younger was a little bit better. 15.6% were born in Mexico. Many of those students are, well, potential, we hope, dreamers. They're undocumented students. El Salvador, in the years in the U.S. among our foreign board students were 4.94, and 119 of them, or 84.4%, were bilingual. So when we looked at characteristics, 12.6% in terms of never had access, 15.7% said less than once a month, weekly 20.5%, and 50% daily in terms of computer access. In terms of internet access, it was a little bit greater. So pre and post changes, we saw that we did make a difference in terms of internet, in terms of technology, not so much with computer. In terms of knowledge, though, they felt a lot more able to use the computer, and I'm down to 5 minutes. In terms of changes, we saw that they did do a little bit better in terms of using the internet again. We didn't change knowledge as much as we thought we would, but a little bit. And you can see the student right here, Beyonce. So you can see that student, if you looked at her, you'd think phenotypically she's African-American. She's half Salvadoran, right? And she was one of our students who ended up academically doing so well by the end of the program. It completely shifted her life. So we saw improved access to the internet. Improved access remained 6 months. So they learned where to go and how to use it and how to navigate things better. Improved computer knowledge of use of computer hardware, multiple software programs. So they learned how to use iMovie, Soundtrack, GarageBand, how to create multimedia products, and also they learned how to do research for their PSAs. We created digital media projects in terms of the public services announcements, and as I said before, we are in the process of analyzing them. We need to strategize regarding improvement in participation of follow-up. That was a little bit difficult. And a lot of folks, because of the time the project was occurring, their families had gone back to Mexico, so I'm not sure if anyone's familiar, but a lot of families are shifting and moving back home. Most students have access to the internet through cell phones, so we really need to look at how can they use digital technology, and that's showing in all of the national surveys that Latinos are, a lot of folks have smartphones, and how can we use these smartphones now in more creative ways in terms of filming. Folks are even learning how to edit. There's all kinds of things going on, so how can we use these as with at-risk youth in terms of documenting risk and all kinds of things. Students have limited access to the software they learned within the program, and the school-based computer access is very limited to less than 1 hour a day, and the library access is 2 miles away, so which is a little bit difficult, especially in Los Angeles where there's limited access to public transportation. So we need to do more research at other venues. And also showing high quality health PSAs is, as an example, we found that really motivated. So when we found we could show the parents what their kids had been doing every Friday, the parents very much began to recognize the usefulness of it all. So use of technology is becoming more important than access. So home access is the most important indicator. Applications of technology that strengthen youth voice and youth documentation of their own context of health risk is very important, and teaching them to creatively pattern that through learning how to do PSAs and things like that is a real key strategy. And combining technology with youth development in other ways very much works for folks, especially youth. So, and how can we creatively look at what they already own in terms of cell phones, PCs, and help them learn to integrate the tools that they have in their lives? And I just wanted to acknowledge our Hamilton Middle School staff, our YMCA staff, our CSULB staff, our CSULB graduate mentors, and our student volunteer mentors. So there were a lot of folks who had their hands on these kids, and I think we made a difference in their lives. Thank you very much.